I titled this message, Remember God's, I first titled it, Remember God's Character, then Remember God's Virtues, then went back to Remember God's Character. And I just, it's like, let's start the new year, and some of this may seem a little simplistic, maybe slightly redundant, but let's start off remembering God's character. Because we're going to move into the year on things that we know so much that you have to talk about is what he wants from us. But let's talk about who he is and what should flow from that. And can't cover all that. I'm going to give you three things today. That's all I wrote, just three things. But three big important things that we've got to keep before us in this church and our lives and never forget. And every church needs to do the same thing. And the first thing is in God's character. You cannot forget, no matter how harsh it seems, no matter what's going on, no matter what happens around you, and I'm challenged with this myself, that God is loving. God is love, no matter how awful and ugly things seem around us. And it's hard, it's really hard to keep perspective that God is love. Because it seems like sometimes he's a pretty tough God. Anybody ever had that impression that God's pretty tough? Okay, there's one back there. Thank you, sir. Anyway, you know, and we hate to admit those things, but to see, you know, 1 John 4:10 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And verse 16 says, so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. And you need to keep this before you. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he loved us so much he sent Jesus. How do you love that much? When I look, you know, it's always been this way. But my gosh, just turn on the news. Just go to one of those, you know, the house in session. And listen to some of that. And it's hard to remember that there's any love out here as brutal as things are. I have never, ever in my life seen such brutality, meanness, viciousness as I see today. Never. You know, that's not any pastoral exaggeration. As far as my consciousness goes, I have never seen our country in such turmoil, so divided, so just mean people out there. Just mean. And they don't even know what they're doing. It's like we're a nation full of parrots. And we just quote whatever we hear. You know, it's like little parrots out there. But we squawk real loud. And so you listen to that and you watch all this stuff and you see the viciousness. You begin to forget that God is a God of love. And he sent Jesus for people just like that. And that's really hard for me I'm just being really honest here with this thing. You know, with love, and I look at God and say, you sent Jesus for that? And I'm wanting to tell them where to go, and it's not heaven. And yet you send Jesus to get them into heaven. And then it's like, yeah, but Tony, and you know how the Lord will convict you. Don't you see? If some of those people really got saved, then they quit acting that way. Oh, yeah. You see, that's what changes people. It's not politics, and it's not laws or anything else that changes people. Law can direct us and all that, but what changes a person? It's like Jesus put in my heart. I do. So if I could get in there and you pray for them, and that doesn't mean you have to take everything to dish out, but you pray for them. What if they got saved? What if just five of those mean ones got saved? You know, pick the one that you dislike the most and say, what would happen if they had a complete turnaround with salvation and now they're putting all their money and energy into doing something for the Lord? Wouldn't that change a lot of things? And so you begin to see that God, you know, it's like, God, I don't get you. I've said that before. I don't really get it. How you can let this go on, and then it's like, because I don't want anyone in hell. That's why. Even if they create a lot of hell on earth, I don't want them in hell. Because that's for eternity. And how long is that? Longer than you can understand, kid. And it's like, okay, get it. Okay. You created us in your image, and you don't want to see anybody created in your image be in hell, even if they're really nasty people. Because he's God. I'm not God, so there's a lot of them that I wouldn't miss them. I'm honest. And then he convicts me of that, saying, yeah, but I would. They're my kids, not yours, Tony. And so we have to be reminded as we go into this new year that this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. When we remain and nasty and sinful, I have enough trouble now. I don't know how I was before. I mean, that's pretty, you know, we can be rotten enough when we're saved, can't we? I mean, we can really say and do some things that save people that, you know, we shock. Do you ever shock yourself with what you think? You ever shock yourself with some of the dreams you have? Not a hand is going up in the place. Okay, one, thank you. You can have some dreams that'll shock you. I dreamed a few nights ago, I won't tell you some of my worst dreams, but I had a really cool dream. And I dreamed that for whatever reason, they wanted a pastor in the NASA program. And I dreamed that I was training in my little boots and my space suit, and I was going to get to be the first pastor into space. And I even did a spacewalk in my dream and woke up and was looking for those boots. I wanted those moon boots on. And it's like, where's my NASA boots? And what a dream. It was a fantastic dream. I did my spacewalk. My bed was torn all to pieces. But I had that was a great dream. You say, did you ever really? Oh, yes. You know, I thought, why didn't I learn to be a fighter pilot and see if I could qualify? So you'd like to fire off in that? Yeah, heck, I always wanted to. I'd go now. Heck, John Glenn did it. I can do it. You know, and so anyway, and I had that fantastic dream. And then I have some other. I had another one, and that was awful. And I was back in the black camo. My face paint black, and they dropped three of us out on an island. And we were going around we were just killing terrorists right and left. And I thought, that is a wonderful dream for a pastor to have. I mean, we laid them out, folks. There's no terrorist on that island, wherever that is, they're gone. And I mean, it was very vivid, and we were doing our old job and sneaky peeking around, and we did it all of it with knives. And you say, oh, Pastor, don't tell us anymore. And so I go from there to fly, being in NASA. So that's my dreams. Anyway. And then there's others, you know, and the one on that, and then I realize when I wake and I come about, you say, what's this got to do with this? And it's like, God loves you anyway. In spite of weird dreams, in spite of bad thoughts, you know, there's just times. You ever just slam your fist down on stuff and really just wish that the person that you're watching on TV or with the news or whatever it is, or having to deal with in person, you ever just wish that they would just drop dead? You ever had that, really? Honestly, thank you. I mean, you really. And aren't you glad God doesn't answer every prayer? Because, yeah, I'll tell you why. Because you may not know it, but there's been somebody somewhere wishing you dropped dead. And he didn't listen to them either. I'm serious. You know, and I have had people tell me that, you know, as weird as it is, in the past, and in churches, saying, you know, Pastor, I can't wait till God just knocks you dead. Oh, yeah, I've had it to my face. And it's like, wow, thank you for not answering their prayers. You know, so remember this. God is love. Keep this in mind. Love doesn't mean you tolerate people's sins. It means you tolerate people. There's a difference. Everybody with me? I have to love people. I do not, and I'm not required to love their words or their actions. And I might have to stand against those things, but not hate the person. Don't let yourself this coming year become hateful, because you're going to see some things. This is now an election year, and you will see some of the most vicious and hear some of the worst, nasty, and you will be attacked as Christians. You will be. They're after you. The socialists are coming. And it's hard for me, really hard, and those of you that wore a uniform, we wore a uniform to stop socialism, communism, and now this country is embracing the very thing that many of my friends died to stop. And that's hard. And it's hard for me not to have bad feelings about that. I have no friends from my year group class left because of trying to stop the very thing that we're embracing now. That's hard. And so I'm challenged with this love thing, and I share that with you, not to get all riled up on something, but to say, I've got the love. I can't let myself ever entertain hate. That's why God says, don't let the sun go down when you're mad. Get over it. Deal with it. And so let me share this with you. To stay in the love of God, how do we let this love, this kind of love, this total giving of His Son Jesus Christ love flow through our hearts? We accept Him. We believe Him. We put our faith in Christ. We confess our sins and we let Him be living in us and a part of us and guiding us. But there's something else that I want to share with you, and it's really important. We were actually discussing some of this on the way down here this morning, and I said, I'm going to bring that up, if I can remember to do it. And so I wrote a little note there to talk about, just for mention this. Friends, let me tell you something. If you want to stay in the love of Christ, first accept it by accepting Christ in your heart. We know that. But would you please learn and share with your friends, you know, learn to deal with your issues when they need to be dealt with. And don't sleep on them for 6 months, 6 years, whatever it is. Don't let stuff stay in there. If there's something you need to confront, confront it. This came up in a conversation because I have to face an issue. I'm going to face an issue this week with someone who has been holding. And they finally got a hold of me, and I knew that they had a problem. And they've been holding some stuff, not against me or any of you, but against someone else for so long that it's become a major festering sore in their life. And I've tried to get this person over time, please, please, please deal with this before it becomes this. So now we're going to deal with it, except the problem happened months and months and months and months ago. Okay? What it's going to do, the problem the person happened with and all has tried so hard to reconcile and be good and do everything they can. They've been killing themselves trying to be a good person. But the other person that was the offended party and rightfully offended would not deal with it. So you know what's going to happen? Now the person who caused this and has done everything they know to do, confess, repent, do everything, tried to make it right. They've done everything. Now they've got to relive this by being attacked months and months and months later because it's going to rehash it, you know, and this is what I feel, how you hurt me. It's like, you know what? That's not fair. I know you're hurt, but friends, listen to me. If something is grieving you that bad, deal with it now. Deal with it. First, go to God with it. And ask God, you know, was it really, really all them, or did I help with this and didn't really know it? Sometimes our attitude, our tone of voice, you know, all kinds of things can aggravate a situation. So that's why we need to go to God and really be honest and say, God, did I help cause this? Let me be responsible for my part of this. And deal with that first. But then go to the person like the scripture says and get it reconciled. Because if you wait, and I know how many, we got a lot of introverts in here. Bless your hearts. Introverts amaze me, okay? And if you're an introverted type person, you hold everything in, you have a tendency to wait and wait and wait and wait, and you don't want to express it, and it just stays, but it's just growing until you start to glow. You can tell when introverts need to share something because they're glowing from the inside out. Okay, it's just become a fireball now. And then, though, if you're an introverted personality, you know how this works. When you tend to share it after you've let it become practically a nuclear fission experience inside of you, you blow. Oh, okay, we have some identifying with it here at the table. Okay, so you know how that works. It's so in there now, and it's the, you know, it's now a nuclear fission taking place. Instead of a normal a little explosion, this is going to be a major nuclear cloud rising up. And so when you let it go, it just blows out. What God wants you to do is when an offense first occurs, first take it to Him and calm down as best you can. But then it says, go and be reconciled. Go and be reconciled. You say, I don't want to be reconciled. I don't like them. I hate them. But God says, go and be reconciled anyway. And well, they're not going to listen to me. Have I ever gone to someone and tried to reconcile with them and they told me to get out of here and don't ever come back? Yes. But you know what? God doesn't hold me accountable, because what He holds me accountable and was holding me accountable for was to go and to be reconciled, and I did my part. If the person doesn't receive it, that's not my problem. That's between them and God. Everybody with me? You're relieved of it because you did your thing and you don't carry it around in you anymore. So, you know, if there's anything that I will say to you, these are not resolutions. These are just Christian teachings. Deal with your issues when they need to be dealt with. Calm down, but deal with them. And don't. And this week, I'm going to try to mediate something that's going to be one of those nuclear explosions, and I know it is. And there's going to be hurt all over again. And I've been involved in some of this as we've gone along, a lot of it, and tried to make things good and on and back. And then, oh God, here we go. And all the wounds just open back up again. Please deal with it. So that's one of the things. And how do you stay and let God's love flow? Don't carry stuff to bed with you. And don't carry other people to bed with you. Everybody, I guess that didn't come out really like I wanted it to, but anyway. Pastor, you could have said that better. But anyway, okay, there's the first New Year's flop right there. Okay, anyway, you know what I'm saying? When I go to bed and what I'm trying to get at, anyway, chalk that one down, okay. When I've got somebody on my mind and I just can't get over what they said they did, or just maybe their expressions, or it could be somebody in there you don't even know. It's just they's out there on the road. They's on the road causing me a lot of issues. Okay, so. But when you take they to bed with you, it's really uncomfortable for you and whoever else is normally occupying your bed, because you've got a stranger in there. And they're trying to communicate with you through that person that you took to bed with you. Everybody with me? Okay, y'all are right in here, aren't you? Okay, it's just keep on, right? Tony, you're really rolling with this one. Okay. But, and so, how many people carry this with them into the bedroom? Get it out of your life. Deal with it. Look, if they did something to you on the road, you don't know who they are, well, get out in the yard and get it out. But don't take them in the house. Don't sleep on it. Because, you know, they have a way of getting people's bad attitudes, actions, reactions. They have a way of starting to stick to you like leeches, and you can't get them off if you keep taking them in there. You ever notice that? And you just keep thinking about them and thinking about them. Guess what you're not thinking about? God. And the devil is sneaky that way, and he'll get you all wrapped around taking somebody in your home, in your bedroom there, and he's the one that wants to be in your bedroom, in your living room, wherever it is. Take him in the kitchen. And so, As you look at this love thing and you say, God is so loving. God never lets anything come. Nobody can come between me and God. He won't let them. He loves me totally, completely. He loves you totally, completely. He never lets anything take away His love for you and me. So don't do it either. Let His love flow in you to where it doesn't happen. And so give God everything. Begin this year and say, God, here it is. I give you me. Myself. My body. Everything that's about me. My thoughts. And God, here's the house. Here's the vehicles. Here's everything I have. I'm going to give to you right now. I no longer am going to claim ownership. And let me give this to you. If you care about someone, if you're married to someone, or there's a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, would you give them to God and quit possessing them? Don't claim them as yours. Give them to the Lord and see if God wants to give them back to you. He will. But you've let go and you're not possessing and you're not owning. If there's anything I say to married couples, it's please don't think you own the other person. They're on loan to you from God. He owns them. He's the Lord of our lives. We're not the Lord of anybody's life. And it's sure easy to forget, isn't it? That we don't own anybody. We don't own anything. So give yourself, everything about you, to God. Give yourself to God. And would you please do this as we start this year? Would you give your past to God? You've made mistakes. We've all sinned, the Scripture says in Romans, and fallen short of the glory of God. So give it to Him. Let it go. You hear me hit on this a lot because I deal with it a lot with people's lives. Let your past go. Bring it to the Lord and say, God, I did this. I committed this sin. I ran off with this person. Had an abortion. Did all that, whatever it is. And it's there in my head, and I want to drop it right now. My family hurt me. Husband hurt me. Wife, friend, job, back there, whatever. And it just haunts my life, and I can't succeed because I can't get it out of my life. Now's the time. Now's the time. Start turning it loose. Every day, turn it loose. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. Unhook. So you can love the Lord and let His love flow through you. I want to say to everybody in this room, and I'll move to the next so we can close up here in a minute. Let God love you. God is wanting to love each one of us here, but sometimes we won't let Him because we keep throwing up objections. I'm not good enough. How can you love someone like me? I've heard that so, I've lost count of the hundreds of times someone has said something in that fashion, usually with more colorful metaphors and adjectives, but how can God love a so-and-so like me, an adulterer like me, and a drunkard like me, and a doper like me, and how can God? Because God made you. That's why. Let me ask you something. How do you love your kids when nobody else loves them but you? None of that doesn't apply to anybody here, but there, you know people like that, right? I'm sorry, Scott. I wasn't looking at you directly, but anyway. No. But really, you know there's some people, and they just love their children, and they're the finest things in the world, and all the rest of us think, ooh, you know, if we could dig a hole deep enough, those kids could fall in. Anyway, right? But to that parent, the point is, to that parent, those children can do no wrong. God looks at you that way and says, yes, you've done wrong, but you can do no wrong in my eyes, because when you accept Jesus into your heart, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, and I don't look at you as my rotten, dirty kids. I look at you as my children. And I'll fight for you to the death. And even if nobody else likes you, God's saying, I still love you because you're my kids. I birthed you. I gave birth to you. And every mom in this place, you know what that means, right? I mean, you give birth to a child, by golly, you'll fight to the death for that kid. Even if everybody else is, wanting the other thing. That's the way God is with us. And so don't be telling God anymore that He can't love you, because you're not going to ever change His mind. He does. And that's His character. He's a loving God. Just do what He says. In John 15:9, you won't have this up here, but I just want to give this to you real quick. Jesus said, as the Father's loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love. And He said, just try to do what I'm telling you to do, and you'll stay in my love. When you blow it, confess it, and let's get back in there. Because let me say something to you. As children of God, once in a while, we're going to steal a cookie from the cookie jar. Everybody follow me? You're going to do something you know you shouldn't do, but you do it anyway. And the minute you do, you need to tell God, I did it. Don't make Him chase you down and convict you. Just tell Him. And get right again. And let me give you this other point. God is faithful. As we go through this year, don't you forget that God is faithful. And He gave me this passage. I thought it a little bit. The faithful is in there, but it's just, I'll read it to you. See, it applies somewhere here. because this is what the Lord gave me on this one. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You got it up here. And the NIV says, and purify us from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse, He'll purify. What is the main word here? God is faithful to do it. What does that mean to all of us? There's not a sin you'll ever commit if you confess it that God won't forgive. Why? Because He says He's faithful to do it. He'll keep His word. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can endure, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. You won't have that up here, but just jot that down, 1 Corinthians 10:13. What does this mean? God keeps His word. God will not leave you or forsake you. God is faithful. And let me share this. It may not seem like God is doing what He says He'll do right this minute. In your circumstances, my circumstances, it may look like God is not the least bit faithful. Don't judge by the circumstances, because God keeps His word. He's a Father that never fails. He's a Father that's sure and true. And He's the Father that's going to see you through this coming year. And what God says in His Word, God will do, whether you see it happening right this minute or not. But God is preparing you. If there's a delay, it's because you're not quite ready yet. The things haven't fallen into place. But trust me, if God says it, God will do it. And you've got to believe in that, that God is a faithful God. And all you have to see this happen is just, Jesus said, if you have a faith that's the size of a little tiny mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and it would happen for it. And He said, all you got to have is just a tiny bit of faith for all of this to take place. And God has come through for me, and I know He has for you, when I didn't have any faith. How many times has God helped you and delivered you when you didn't have a lick of faith? When you were saying, this can't happen, I'm not going to get out of this. I'm not going to be well. Yeah. And God does it anyway. But you're believing. But I've known many a person who told me to my face, I'm not going to make it, Tony. And they're still going. What happened? Because we had faith for them. And friends, listen to me. Listen, this is important. You remember the guy that was just worn out and he was terribly ill, and his friends wanted him to be touched by Jesus, but the poor guy couldn't even get up out of his bed. So what did they do? That Jesus was having a little Bible teaching conference in the house, and they crawled up on top of the house because they wouldn't let him in the door. There were so many people they couldn't get in with this guy. And one of them crawled up on the roof and pulled it apart, and they lowered him on a rope. They're going to have to pay for that roof, by the way. Nobody ever thought about that, but they were willing to do that. Look what his friends are willing. They're willing to pay for the hole in the roof that they created because they cared so much for their friend and believed so much in the healing power of Jesus Christ that they tore a hole in the guy's roof, lowered the guy down on a rope. Jesus touched the guy and he was healed. Whose faith? Their faith. That guy was too sick to have anything, but his friends believed. Friends, there's times we have to stand in for each other and believe for each other, because once in a while we're just going to get so beat up by life and so worn out, we just don't have it. But others have it for us. And they'll lower, friends, when it happens to one of us, if it happens to me, would you please just lower me through the roof so Jesus can touch me? I mean it. God's faithful and He'll do it if anybody believes. I got to close, right? So let me close with this last. I'm going to get this last point in, if you'll bear with me. And we'll run to lunch. We still have time to beat the Baptists. They're still going. All right, so let me hurry, and we'll beat them to lunch. John 3:16. You ready? God is a giving God, and there's no better passage to show that than this. It works into the first one, love, yes. But here, look at this, how giving God is. Don't you forget, God is a giving God. He's not going to hold out on you. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Hey, well, here it is right up here. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, you, me, all of us, believes in Him shall not perish. We're not going to die. We're not going to lose it. We're not going to go to hell, but we'll have eternal life. Okay? You say, what? Okay, that's how giving God is. God is that giving, and He gave Jesus to people who didn't even want Him. Jesus came and they, listen, Jesus was rejected in His day. When you think about it, there weren't that many. There were multitudes that followed Him, and there were multitudes multiplied by multitudes who didn't. When I get worried about low attendance, God had to speak to my heart. You know what he put in my heart? Tony, you worry about those bad days when people are out hunting or fishing or whatever they're doing? How would you like to be Jesus and have 12 disciples and one of them stuck Him in the back? And Jesus ended up His life with 11. And it kind of hit me hard and hits us all, doesn't it? When you think about it, it's like Jesus spent 3.5 years ministering, preaching, teaching, doing all and healing people. And He ended up with 12 people, and one of those was a backstabber. And all of that amounted to 11 people in His little church. But those 11 people have changed our lives. Isn't that amazing? And so I get frustrated and where's everybody? And it's like, I only had 11. And if you ever feel like anybody stabbed you in the back, son, yeah, I know what that feels like. And it's like, so for all of you, if you ever feel like somebody's betrayed you, hurt you, you've had somebody in your life and they just, boy, they did it to you, then turn to Him and here's somebody that understands. And Jesus can tell you, for 30 pieces of silver, man, for just a little handful of coins, they sold me out. I know what that's like. But guess what? And this is where you come in, and His faithfulness and His love and His giving. They may sell you out for a handful of coins, and you may have been stomped on and kicked around, but I want to tell you something else. Your greatest victory comes from that experience. They sold Him out and put Him on the cross, and that was going to be the end. And He walked out of that tomb, and your greatest victories will come from your worst defeats. Unless you work for Jerry Jones, and that might be a problem. Do you hear this? It's out of our worst defeats. It's at the moment when it's the darkest, blackest, meanest, cruelest in our lives that Jesus Christ is about to raise you up from your deathbed and give you life and give it in abundance. It was a dark day. And He walked out of the tomb. The sun went down, but the sun rose. And He will for you this coming year. You give. You give. God's a giver and you give. You tithe this year. Go above the tithe. Give first offerings. Give things above and beyond your normal tithe. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. Give yourself. Give your love. Give. Just give what God tells you to give. And here's what's going to happen. It says that God will see to it that it'll be given to you, pressed down, running over, and you can't even measure it. Isn't it fantastic? Well, somebody say amen or something, you know. Okay. If you say amen more, I'll close quicker. So, okay, so here we go. I'm going to give you the gaves. God gave Jesus. God gives forgiveness. God gives provision. He gives you protection. God gives you patience. But I want to tell you something else God gives every one of us. He gives us another chance. And another chance. And another chance. And every time I've asked Him, what has He done? He's given me another chance. And He does for you. And every time we blow it, every time we think, man, there's no way, God says, I forgive you. I give you another shot at it. Another chance. He is the God of another chance. He surely is. That He gives all these things. And He gives you life. And He gives you abundant life. And He gives you purpose. And He gives you family. And He gives you friends. And He gives you a church. Yeah. And he gives us heaven. And he gives us all of this, all of heaven for all eternity. And right now, God is giving breath to bring this message. He's given us life and given it in abundance. And I look around and say, look at all your friends. They pray for you. They love you. They care about you. And I want you to know, through God is in my heart, has given me such a love for you. I care about each and every one of you. I want you to succeed. I want you to prosper. I want you to be happy. I want everything good for you. Why? Because God wants good for you. So just let him do his thing and bring it on. I'm really closing now. Oh, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, Lord, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation or trial or testing this coming year, but God, deliver us from evil, deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory and all honor to you forever and ever in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen, and bless you, God bless you for being here this morning.